Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. And returning, we've got Ray Hernandez. Ray, how you going, mate?
How are you, Pete?
Good, good. It's good to connect again. Now, we'll get straight into it because there's a lot to cover during the show. Now, you're one of the founders for Free. It's changing now to Dr. Edgar Mitchell's Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Experiences. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. It's the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And what happened was that Edgar, before he passed away on videotape, he authorized Free to use his name as his legacy. And so, you know, we got him on videotape and he did accept the naming of our organization. And just for your audience members, Free has four co-founders. One of the co-founders is our beloved Mary Rodwell, which needs no introduction to the members of your followers. And then the other ones is Dr. Edgar Mitchell. And again, Edgar should need no introduction. He was one of the pioneers of the disclosure movement, six men on the moon, the founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences. He's a physicist working on zero-point energy, the physics of energy healing. I mean, I could go on and on and on, you know, the important work that Edgar has contributed. And then the other co-founder is Dr. Ruby Shields, who is a 74-year-old emeritus professor of astrophysics at Harvard University. And Ruby was a very close friend of Dr. John Mack at Harvard University. And as many of your listeners know, Dr. John Mack was one of the first academics to take the experiential phenomenon seriously and work with experiencers over the last, I think, is 10 years of his life. And Rudy was part of that, the whole 10 years. He was the one that actually showed Dr. John Mack about the physics of consciousness, the whole aspect of consciousness, that we live in a multidimensional reality. So he really expanded Dr. Mack's mind to take a look at these entities from not just a nuts and bolts perspective, but also from the paranormal, from the psychic, from the ethereal, and the multidimensional aspects of this phenomenon.
It's fascinating, the team and the lineup, and people can go to, I think it's experiencer.org, is that right now?
Correct, Pete, yes. Yep. We finally have our website up. It's been up now for about a month. It's experiencer.org.
Awesome, awesome. Now, in saying that, you guys have collected a lot of data and got a lot of experiences, I guess, to share what they've experienced. And it's been a type of survey done in such a way where it's going to stand up, as you said, against, you know, a lot of the crap on the internet that's out there on a lot of this stuff. Do you want to give people a brief overview of how you guys have gone about this and collected the data?
Okay. As you know, Pete, we've been doing this for almost 2.5 years behind the scenes. The reason was that Mary and Edgar and Ruby and I, we discussed, you know, what we're going to be undertaking as an organization. And what we decided to focus on is three main areas. One is to undertake primary academic research on the phenomenon of contact, UFO-related contact with non-human intelligence. The other is the aspect of support. Support helping out experiencers. And the third area is education, to educate humanity on the physics of consciousness, the quantum hologram theory of physics, the contact modalities, how all of the, and I'll touch upon those later on, how all the different modalities where humans are piercing the veil and having contact with humans, how they're all interrelated. So it's those three areas, research, education, and support were the three missions. So then what we decided to do is, under each of these missions, what can we do, you know, for each of the areas? Now, what I want to focus upon today, even though I'll go over all the three different areas, is I want to focus on the research study, because I've never spoken with that topic on your show before, because we were still collecting the data. Mm-hmm. Now, the research study is a background. Rudy and also Dennis Reefer, who was a friend of Free and a colleague of ours. Dennis was the president of the John Mack Institute for many years. And then Rudy worked with Dr. Mack for many years as well. And what they both told me was that the most individuals that Dr. Mack worked with in all of his years was only 180 people. Okay, so that's it. You know, it's not like he researched thousands of cases. No, it's just 180 people. Now, same thing with David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins and these other folks. It's a very small, limited amount. Now, all these individuals that have worked with experiences and, you know, famous names that are out there in this field, none of them undertook academic research. For example, David Jacobs' last book on hybrids, that's just based on 10 people that walked through his door. That's it. Now, that's not academic research, but yet he's presenting it to humanity like, you know, I've solved the puzzle. I know why they're here for. They're here for this reason. That's just 10 people that walk through your door, okay? And then talking to, you know Mary, she's been in this field for 30 years, you know, a very, very highly educated woman, spoken with thousands of experiences, tons of researchers. Kathleen Martin, who's the head of MUFON's Experiential Research Study. Dr. Leo Sprinkle, who is the first academic to ever write articles on experiencers. He started in 1962.
He goes back a while.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Dr. John Klimo, who's one of the world's leading psychologists, and his expertise is the paranormal. And he's worked with hundreds of experiences of UFO-related contact experiences. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, she's written 62 books on the paranormal. She herself is an experiencer. You know, we got the cream of the crop here from a diversity of perspectives. Now, all of them said, we have no data on experiencers. You know, no academic data. What we do have is 1,000 people have written their stories. You know, you've written something on it. You know, all these other people have written their own individual stories. So it's a lot of individual stories. And then you have these researchers that, like Dr. Mack, interviewed. You know, Dr. Mack's last book was only based, I think it was like 20 people or so. So you interview these 20 people, and then you write like little summaries according to commonalities that they might have shared. But again, these are not, you know, formal academic studies, Pete. Certainly no statistical studies. So what we undertook was the first comprehensive academic statistical study on the experiential contact phenomena. And it's not just statistical, it's also qualitative through interviews and open-ended questions. So let me give a little background for your audience members here. Our research study began, we began developing the methodology almost 3 years ago. And the methodology was developed by the whole crew, the whole team. And as you know, we have five professors, you know, in our group. Now, the two leading professors that developed the methodology was Dr. John Klimo. As I said before, he taught for 40 years research methodology, and he was a tenured professor of psychology. And then another professor that is now the co-chair of our research studies is Dr. Bob Davis, and he's a brain doctor. He's a professor of neuroscience. And the reason he got – and he himself has published over 200 academic publications, you know, on the brain, you know. But the reason he became involved was that he and his wife were out in the desert of Sedona about 5 years ago, and both of them saw a UFO. And out of one UFO craft came out another little craft. And, you know, freaked the hell out of him, you know, and his wife. And all of a sudden, the guy became totally consumed about UFOs. You know, he had no knowledge of this. And so I spoke with him maybe about more than a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years ago. And I started to tell him, I said, Bob, you know, this is not just about, you know, lights in the sky, you know, nuts and bolts issues. This is much, much more profound than this, you know. And I said, if you really want to learn, you know, let me start sending you materials, right? And then I started sending him lots of materials to read, lots of materials. Finally, when he was ready for it, I said, now you really want to get blown away? Let me introduce you to Mary Rodwell. So I hooked him up with Mary, you know, and then, you know, continuing his education, you know, but at a higher level, you know, because Mary now was, you know, feeding him materials. So after a certain period of time, we invited him to join us at Free. And now he's one of our most valued members. And this guy is a brain doctor, you know, a neuroscientist. So, you know, we really have a lot of diversities of perspectives here. So this research study, what we developed was that we wanted to have a quantitative statistical study. So these are, it forced you to choose an answer like yes or no from A to B, from these five choices, you know, A, B, C, D, or E, which one would you pick? You know, so those were forced choice questions, and we had 600 of those, okay? And we had numerous topic areas, Pete. Let me just go over the different topics. We topic on direct contact experiences, and that was divided in terms of contact here on Earth, contact in a craft, or contact in some other 3D physical location, like on another planet or underground and things of that sort. We also had contact in a matrix type of reality, okay, where it's just, you know, your mind and you're like in outer space or somewhere in a matrix type of reality. We also had talked about the family history of the contact experience, you know, in terms of your children, your parents, your sister, you know, your grandparents, tons of questions about the family history. We also asked questions about you as a child, the contact experiences that you had as a child. We also asked numerous questions about the breeding program. We asked questions about implants. We had questions about abductions, about my labs. But we also asked questions that were not traditional. We asked questions whether your experiences were positive, negative, or neutral, or both. We asked questions about the connection between the ETs and the spirit world and spirituality-related type of questions. We asked questions about what information did they receive from the ETs. We asked questions about how did they change? What is their psychological profile after these experiences? We had questions about their opinions on numerous types of topics. Parapsychological questions and paranormal questions of the paranormal experiences that they encountered. Their religious beliefs. You know, all these type of categories, as you know, people don't discuss these things in ufology conferences and things of that sort. These are things that experiencers talk among themselves when we share our stories. And that's why we knew, you know, to ask these questions. So it's 600 of these type of questions. And then that's phase one and phase two. Phase one is the introductory experiencers. It might have been someone who might have seen one UFO and might have had some type of contact. Phase two is for the hardcore experiencers, okay? Because we asked tons of questions. And a lot of people, they saw those detailed questions and said, look, that's not me. You know, I didn't have these experiences. So they bowed out, you know, and they started taking our survey and then they stopped. Now, phase three is, again, for the people that did phase one and phase two, those are written responses to 70 open-ended questions. So we asked 70 questions, and someone is supposed to write out, type out the, you know, answers. And some people wrote one or two paragraphs. Other people wrote pages and pages just on one question. So that's phase three. Now, phase four is the actual one-on-one interview, where people are going to be interviewing them one-on-one. And we're going to be recording that interview. Now, that recording is not going to be by picture like we're doing now. Mm-hmm. It's going to be totally anonymous. All of our surveys are totally anonymous. We don't ask for your name, your ID, your address, you know, where you live, or anything like that. When the interviewer is going to be interviewing you, you will not know the name of the interviewer. It'll just be interviewer number, let's say, 46. Mm-hmm. The person that's being interviewed, you won't even know their name. It'll be participant number 387, okay? And though everyone will be instructed not to talk any information that might identify who you are. So it's completely anonymous. Now, what made our survey different from all these other smaller studies that have been done in the past? There have been other studies, but they were very tiny. They were like 50 people. They asked like 50 questions, and they were all focused on abductions. Now, what we learned through our survey and also people in our research committee was that abductions, they hypothesized, we didn't have the actual data, but they hypothesized that abductions is just one component of people that have had contact experiences. Mm-hmm. Like in my case, you know, my wife was abducted. You know, I don't like to use that term, but she was taken and relocated someplace else, but not me, okay? I didn't have that. My daughter as well, she's had, you know, contact experiences, but, you know, no perception of ever being, you know, taken or relocated. So everyone knew, including Mary and Leo Sprinkle and everyone else, that that there was a huge number out there that were never abducted. But yet all of the previous tiny studies that were out there was just focused on abductions. And that all the questions focused on abduction-related type of questions. You know, implants, abductions, the experiments that they did on the craft, you know, implants, alien breeding program, you know, those types of general questions. Never all the other topics that we discussed earlier with you. So that's one major difference. The other thing is that we ask people to respond not by hypnosis, hypnotic regression, but by conscious, you know, recollection. The reason we chose that, even though a lot of people, if it's done correctly, hypnotic regression is a valuable tool, okay? But if we include that in our methodology, we're just going to be ripped to shreds. Mm-hmm. Because we could have someone who took a two-hour Dolores Cannon class, like I did. I took her introductory course, you know, took me 2 hours to do. All of a sudden, I could start doing hypnotic regressions on folks. But yet, I wouldn't know what the hell to do, Pete, you know what I'm saying? And so if we allow, you know, overall hypnotic regression to come in, it'll really taint, you know, our results. So what we did is said, you know, none of that stuff, just no channeling information, mm-hmm. no lucid dreaming, even though those are valuable information that we can collect, we decided just to focus on conscious, explicit memory. Also, what we did is we bombarded Facebook. Every month we sent a posting on 500 Facebook sites telling people about our survey. And it wasn't just ufology organizations. We sent it to CE5, paranormal organizations, New Age folks, Reiki healers, consciousness, you know, websites, Sasquatch websites, you know, including the websites that see these ETs as devils, as angels, you name it, you know. And of course, all the MUFON and all ufology and UFO type of websites. Plus, we appeared on close to over 50 different radio stations to plug the research so people could know about the research and to take it. And then we sent out over 2,000 emails to almost everybody that's ever published a book on ETs, on aliens, and UFOs, things of that sort, you know, encouraging people to take our survey. And what we responded is, this is the data that I'm telling you now, the number cutoffs was as of December 1st. We're still collecting data, but for the analysis of the research, we did the cutoff of December 1st. So as of that date, we had just English. We're just going to talk about English. We've got the survey running in different languages now, but today I'm just talking about the English language survey. We've had for phase one, 2,200 individuals, which is huge, Pete, okay? 2,000 people from 70 different countries, okay? 70 different countries. In the English language. Phase two, now it's 1,300 individuals speaking from phase two, okay? And then in the Spanish language, phase one, we have over 500 people in Spanish language. And so we're just starting that up, the Spanish language. And we've got French, and we've got a team in Germany that's doing the survey now in German. And there's a team of eight researchers, both ufologists and paranormal and ET researchers in Germany.
So it will be ongoing for quite some time. Like you've got the English section sorted out, but it's going to be ongoing.
It's going to be ongoing, correct. And we're still collecting data in the English language. So if anyone is out there that hasn't taken our survey, please go to experiencer.org. Look at the section that says research study. Click there and you will see a link to the English language research survey. And the first phase one is fairly quickly. You can do it in 20 minutes, so it's nice and easy. Phase two is a little more time consuming, but those are for the people that have had, you know, major types of experiences.
So what's some of the stuff you can go to in terms of some of the results or the data side of things, if there's what you can go into at this time?
No, I can go into everything.
Oh, awesome.
All of our data.
Yeah?
Yeah, all of our data is open to the public. Unlike MUFON, which collects all this data and doesn't show it to people, all these other UFO collection agencies that hide all the information, no. All of what we're doing for the phase one and phase two is open to the public. Mm-hmm. Now, phase three and phase four, which is one-on-one personal stuff, that's obviously is not, you know, public, you know, but at least the data is open to public. So you can go to our website, again, click on our research, and all of our data is available.
Awesome.
So let's go over some of these basic questions.
Please do.
On phase one.
Awesome.
Okay. This is again December 1st. We've now gotten tons more people since then. But roughly 78% of the people that took our phase one survey have seen UFOs. Okay. And as of that date, it was 1,400 people. Okay. Which is a big number of people. You know? We described what it looked like, what the UFO did. I'm not going to go over those questions, but very detailed questions. The other interesting aspect of it is that 65%, Pete, had witnesses. Okay? So, you know, the vast majority of these people had witnesses to these events. So it's not like you're out there alone, you know? And again, that's proof, validity, that these things are real. Like in my case, when I saw that huge, gigantic craft outside my house, the size of Wembley Stadium, you know, it was seen by five people. It was three adults, a 17-year-old, and my 10-year-old daughter. So this confirms that the vast majority, 65, were seen by witnesses. Missing time. We asked the questions of missing time. We had 949 people, Pete, that had missing time. Huge numbers of people. We even asked the questions of extra time, such as arriving sooner than expected, which you cannot have a reasonable explanation. And that was 583 people. Okay, and we'll clearly see through all of our data is that these entities are able to manipulate not only space, but also time. Okay, which is, you know, unbelievable for the lay people that are out there. It was 34% have had extra time. People have gotten telepathic downloads, telepathic messages. 1,148 people, Pete. Huge numbers, okay? What I'm telling you now is just huge numbers. Yeah. It's like you can't, you know, you can't screw around with this. You know, no one has ever done anything close to this, you know? Here's a question, very interesting question. Again, these are just some questions that I picked from phase one. Phase one had about 130 questions. We asked this question, do you believe that you possess this information about advanced technology, advanced physics, or other scientific information that you've never read or learned in your normal environment? Now, if you've spoken with hundreds of experiences, Pete, how would you say people have answered that question? Yes?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Most yes, right?
Yeah.
Well, we've gotten 715 people said yes, that they do possess information about advanced technology, advanced physics, or other scientific information that they've never read about or learned in their normal life. Okay? My case, after I had that out-of-body experience and that inside that spinning wheel where I was taught about consciousness and the contact modalities, 2 months later, I wrote a paper which Ralph Steiner, a physicist with Rudy Shears, Dr. Rudy Shears, and Dr. Edgar Mitchell, approved. You know, they obviously made some comments to it, you know. But it was a paper titled The Quantum Hologram Theory of ET Contact, you know. And here I am with absolutely zero interest in these things before my experiences started, you know. And so I'm just an example. I'm not the only one. 715 people. And you're one of them. Probably Sarita's one of them. And probably half of the people that you talk to, you know, answered that question. So, again, is this stuff that you're going to get a move on?
Well, okay. This is the most in-depth.
These UFO conferences.
Yeah, this is the most in-depth I've seen it, and it's awesome that it's available to the public, and not just the public, but also other researchers, so they've got something they can go off. It's like an area that hadn't been covered in this in-depth yet, that it's going to be a go-to place for data. And have you guys thought about putting this out in a book format or anything like that?
Oh, yes, yes. We're going to do a series of books, Pete. For example, just the whole aspect of the hybridization program, okay? We've had close to 350 people that answered those questions, and we asked numerous questions on that, okay? So we could write a book just on the hybridization program. And when we interview these people, instead of, David Jacobs, 10 people, we've got 350 people now, okay, that can talk about this topic area. And we could use, you know, obviously with their permission, you know, their interviews, their quotes, and things like that to elaborate that this is a lot more complex than what he's putting forward.
You might have to do a whole encyclopedia set or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the abduction phenomenon. We've got tons of information on the abduction phenomenon. People have been aboard a craft. We've had, you know, I think it was like almost 400 people that have been aboard a craft. you know. So for each of these different topic areas, we could write a book on each one, Pete. The whole connection between ETs and the spirit world. I'm going to go over all this data.
Yep.
But again, that's an entire book, you know. Now, let me ask you some questions. There was all this talk about Rh negative, okay? Rh negative is approximately 15% of the U.S. population, 15%. So we asked this question. Do you have a blood type that is Rh negative, okay? Well, yes was only 14.6%. You see what I'm getting at, Pete?
Exactly.
We're able, because we have such large numbers, we had 1,723 people that answered that question, okay? So only 252 people said yes, okay? So now we can definitively say that preliminary data indicates that no, Rh negative is not, you know, for ET contact experiences, not associated with it, you know? But yet it got blown up without really any significant data to back it up, okay? So that's why it's important what we're doing, Pete, you know? A couple of other general questions. Do you feel that you have some type of implant in your body? Okay. We had 657 people said yes. Okay. Now, when we ask them, has it ever been detected by an X-ray, an MRI, or some other medical imaging device? Now, it's only 91 people, you know? So we're asking people, okay, you know, can you prove it, you know, besides what your beliefs are? And it's only 91 people that, yes, it's ever been discovered via some type of device. That doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have an implant, you know? It's just that there's a lot of people who have beliefs and theories and hypotheses about themselves. But, you know, we wanted more documentation to really get at the gist of it, okay? But who knows? Maybe it's, you know, double 91, maybe it's 3 times 91, maybe it's 300, you know. But it's almost 700 people said yes, they believe it, but only 191 people have it's ever been detected. Here's another interesting question, Pete. Again, these organizations have no idea about this topic, but yet you and I do know in other experiences on your show. Have you experienced alter states such as out-of-body experiences? Okay, have you had an out-of-body experience?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all part of it, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you and I know it, Pete, you know, because we both had it, okay? Well, 80% said yes. 1,364 people, Pete. Let me repeat that number. 1,364 people have had out-of-body experiences, okay? But yet, that's a topic that no one talks about, Pete, okay? But we asked that same question, as a matter of fact, for phase two. These are the hardcore experiencers. 78% have had out-of-body experiences, okay? We asked the question, can you see energy or auras around people? It was almost 20%. But still, 332 people.
Yeah,
that's a huge number.
Yeah.
332 people. Okay, let me see some other types of generic type of questions. Do you believe that you have observed a non-human intelligent being, which we put in parentheses, ET? Now, anytime I mention ET in the survey, we always clarified it as non-human intelligent being, because we really don't know whether they're extraterrestrial, whether they're, you know, interdimensional, extra-dimensional, what the hell it is, you know? So we just label it as non-human intelligent being, and then we put ET in parentheses, so we don't have to always constantly use
keep on saying that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we've had, for phase one, is 979 people said that they have physically observed an ET, 978, okay? So out of the category, right, the number one being, which one would you guess was the number one being seen by people?
Probably say the grays.
Which type of gray?
I'd probably say the small little 3 to 4 foot tall ones.
Okay, what percent would you guess be?
I reckon 30 to 40.
Okay, all right. Let me give you the actual numbers here. The number one type of being at 55% is the energy being.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The energy being, 55% of these 900 and whatever, almost 80 people that have physically seen these ETs. Is energy being. What I saw, okay, I didn't see any of these other beings, Pete, in my living room. What I saw was an energy being.
Well, that's what most of my interactions have been. That's very interesting because a lot of people I talk to, it's usually the grey that comes up and later will they experience what we're talking about now. So that's actually, you know, that's interesting data. And I think a lot of the time it might be too much out there for people to tell other people because, you know, they're expecting maybe a little bug-eyed or a little grey dude rather than that. Yeah.
Correct. Well, the number, Pete, was 516 people. 516 people saw the energy beings. Now, the number two type of being, and hold your horses here, the human-looking being.
Nordic. Or just human, human-looking, yeah.
Human-looking being, because it was different sizes, different hair color, different color eyes. Mm-hmm. Some of them were Asian-looking, some of them were dark-skinned, okay? Some of them were tall, and some of them were, you know, our height, okay? So the human type of being was Pete, 54%.
Interesting.
Okay? Okay. Now, it's 505 people said that, the human-looking being. Now, number two being was the small grays. 477 people, the small grays. That's 51%. Okay? The next category was the tall grays. 301 people have seen the tall grays. That's 32%. The next category is the hybrid at 26.4%. That's 247 people. Running very close by is the reptilian, 25.6%. And that's 240 people. Then after that is the small animal type, okay, which we didn't go into details. You know, when we do the interviews, we'll get exactly what they look like. The small animal type is 14.5%. That's 136 people. The large animal type was 13%. That's 121 people.
So could this be Bigfoot or that chupacabra or whatever that?
Here's what we're doing, Pete. If we were to specify in more detail these different types of beings, we could have hundreds of.
Oh, it could be going all day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forever.
Yeah. Okay. So what we did is we did these major categories, and then when we do these interviews of the major cases, and we're looking on interviewing, you know, like 300, you know, people, and hopefully you could help with some of the interviews, mm-hmm. you know. Out of these 300 cases, for example, David Chase, I think you've interviewed
him. Yeah, I've had David on. Yeah.
Yeah, David. David is he's on part of our research committee, okay? He's compiling hundreds of drawings of these different types of ETs. Like the grays, he's got like 100 different pictures of grays. Mm-hmm. Reptilians, he's got hundreds of pictures of reptilians. The humans looking, he doesn't have a lot of them, but he does have quite a bit, and he's compiling from other sources different drawings of the human, you know, looking type of beings. David Chase is doing all these drawings, you know?
Yeah.
And so when we ask the interviews, right, that if someone saw a gray, is it gray number one? Grade number two, grade number three, grade number four, grade number five. You know, right off the internet, they'll go to a website and they'll see, you know, 50 pictures of the different grades. And someone will take a look at it. Well, it was number 37, okay? But it had the eyes of number 26, you know? So, like that, we'll be able to get very, very detailed explanations of what is actual. Oh, I know what it was. Virgilio actually had the drawing of all these little small animals. From his tour in Chile. And that's also accessible to David. So we have a lot of drawings. As a matter of fact, my wife in the backyard, she saw an animal that looked like a little chupacabra thing, except it was 3 feet tall, that had like a big long tail on it, just jumped over the fence and then flew away, you know.
Sol's actually saw one a few months ago, and she didn't even know what it was. And when I showed her a picture of it, she said it was very similar. So it's a lot of, they reported, you know, around a lot of these different weird looking animals.
Yeah, and as you know, a lot of these entities, they camouflage themselves as other types of entities, you know. Yeah. But anyway, so that's the different types of beings that we're being seen. Now, have we ever had that data before, Pete? You know?
Well, we've never had. No. And it's very interesting what you've come up with already in terms of the energy beings. Something I love when I talk to Barry Littleton, is, you know, talking about the different coloured types of beings that are out there, because we always hear about the Nordics, and that's why I brought up them and the greys. But my experience is I've interacted with things that look Asian, that look black, that look white, that look so many different types, and blue beings that are humanoid as well, like we see in India. Right. So it's important because what it shows is the broad range. Now, we could also speculate and go into, is this a projection? Is it an illusion? And they're not showing their true nature. But at least you're getting
another conversation. Yeah.
Exactly. But at least you're getting a foundation. We can go from there on the commonalities and things like that and see what's, common. And of course, there's going to be a few red herrings that maybe not for another 10, 20 years will you hear about another new commonality. Maybe people are experiencing something new. For example, the late 1800s, everyone was reporting skyships. And then, the 30s to 40s and so on, we started to hear about the saucers. And then now the crafts are looking like, some of the stuff I'm seeing look like friggin' sea creatures in the sky and weird stuff. So, this is where we're starting to get, a ground foundation going with this, which is awesome.
Yeah, correct. What we're laying, Pete, as you know, is just a foundation because this data never existed before. And this is going to go on, way past my death, your death, even our children's passing away, this is still going to be going on, if these ETs just don't, appear to us, and reveal themselves. But if they don't, we're laying the foundation for future research and future data. Now, let me go over the next question we asked is, again, this is just phase one, okay? Besides seeing this non-human intelligent being, have you interacted in any way with this entity or these entities? So have you interacted with them, okay? Well, 73% said yes, okay? Large number, 686 people actually had interactions with them. We then later go on to the specifics of the interaction. Now we asked approximately how many times have you seen or interacted with these beings? Okay, 40% said 20 or more times, Pete. Okay, like in your case, multiple times. 40%, huge number. Another 6.8% said between 11 and 20. Another 8% said between 8 to 10. So I would say it was about close to 70% have interacted with these beings more than 5 times. Okay? But the vast majority of them more than 20 times. Okay? So it's not just one time. If you've had contact with these beings, the probabilities are that it's going to be more than once. Only one time is only 15%. Mm-hmm. That's it. The people that have seen it one time. Now, my category, I've only seen the being one time, okay? But I've seen lots, lots of crafts. But most of my experiences now are just these crazy synchronicities is not a word. It's like things are being coordinated, planned around me. Last time, we spoke about that, just how Free was formed, but we won't go into that in my story because I want to focus on the data here. Now, let's go into how people describe each of these beings, Pete, okay? Now, let me focus just upon the negative. These are the choices. Mainly negative, mainly positive, equally positive and negative, neutral, or I'm not sure. Okay? Now, the reason I want to just focus upon negative is because there's a perception that many of these beings are just perceived as mainly negative. Okay? So I want to dispel that rumor right there. Okay? So I just want to focus on the mainly negative and mainly positive. Okay? The other three categories is basically like, I'm not sure, and then there's equally positive and negative. Now let's start with the short grays. What percent would you say, Pete, of people responding saying that they're mainly negative?
God, I don't know, because I think a lot of people I've spoken to, they don't know what the agenda was, and then there's some people that just,
correct, that's the majority.
Yeah, that's majority, what I'd say.
Okay, well, these are the actual numbers of the short grays, okay? Let's start with mainly negative. Mainly negative was only 11.5%, okay? So all these people out, the evil short grays, well, it's only 11.5% people said that they're mainly negative. Mainly positive is 29%, okay? Almost three times, okay? Equally positive and negative, 17%. But the vast majority, which is 43.3%. Let's say 43% said it was either neutral or I'm not sure. Okay, so 43% neutral. Okay, and that's exactly what you said, But what I want to highlight is that the mainly negative is only 11.5%. Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay. Now let's focus on the tall grays. Okay. The tall grays, mainly negative was only 11%. Mainly positive was 31.4%. Equally positive and negative was 13%. And again, neutral was 45% approximately was neutral. So roughly the same numbers as the short grays. But again, mainly negative because only 11% with the tall grays. And again, the people that saw the tall grays that answered this question, let's start with the short grays, was 637 people. Okay? 637 answered this question with the short grays. With the tall grays was 417. So again, this is not chump change, people.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is pulling from a lot of people. Now, yeah.
A lot of people, right. Now, the next category here is the hybrid. Now, again, we didn't define what the hybrid looks like because it's up to you to you know, later on to tell us. But these are clearly a mixture between humans and other types of entities. The hybrids was 48% positive, huge number positive. Negative was only 6%. Equally positive and negative was 9%. Neutral, and I'm not sure, was 30, almost 38%. Okay, so again, negative was only 6%. Now, next being the praying mantis insectoid type. Okay, I don't know if you've ever had experience with one of those, Pete.
Yeah, a few times actually.
We had 325 people that answered this, so that's a lot of people. Okay, mainly positive 33%, Pete. Negative 10%. So only 10% said it was negative. Equally positive and negative, 9%. The vast majority of people, which is 48%, said it was neutral. Well, that's sure. Okay. But again, the vast majority of these people said it was not negative. Only 10% said it was negative. Okay. A couple of options, the reptilians. And the evil, dreaded reptilians, okay? And you were appeared in that documentary a short while ago, you know? I've never seen it. I don't know what it's about, you know? But it had a lot of people. Now, we've had 348 people that answered this questionnaire. I don't know how many people participated in that documentary, okay? But here we've got 348 responses. Out of those 348, 22% said the experiences were negative, which is only one out of five, okay? And again, we don't really know the reasons why they answered that. Maybe it's just scared the shit out of them, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows, okay? We'll find out with the interviews, you know, why it was a negative experience. 18% said it was positive. So it's not that much of a difference between 22% and 18%. But however, the vast majority said it was neutral. It was 47%, okay? It was neutral. Okay, huge number. The vast majority was neutral experience.
Yep.
Both positive and negatives were 13%. So again, this whole stereotype of these reptilians being purely negative, that's fictitious. That's fictitious. Only 22%. 348 people. Okay. Now, the human-looking being, overwhelmingly positive. 61% positive. Negative, only 5%. Okay. So let me skip over these other types of entities, the spirit form, the ghost-like, whatever, and let me go into the next topic category. Now, did any of that surprise you, Pete, from what I told you from our data?
No. I did think that people were seeing more greys, but personally, but besides that, so even with the reptilians, I've had both positive, negative, and then I don't know what the hell, you know? And
yeah.
I do interact with the large majority. Like, I've got contact going on every day, and so does Sol. Like, every day, it's... The last time was yesterday afternoon, and it doesn't have to be physical. It's just a mind connection, but...
Yeah.
A lot of it, I think we're working with other facets... Like, my opinion is we're working with other facets of ourselves or beings that we're friends with in the other realms, but even when some things come in that I've never interacted with or somebody comes around and I'm connecting with something they're connected to, a lot of the time there's a neutral sort of energy with it.
Yeah,
look,
yeah.
I've talked to Mary about this, and Mary was saying, you know, sometimes, and look, I believe there's both service and self-service beings out there. Like with the mantids, I think they're on the border. They don't care either way. They're coming from a different level of consciousness, but some of these beings we may perceive as negative, but it's because of our human perception at the time of them.
Correct.
You know, that's just how we're going to perceive it. And I think
We
need both in order, because what I'm learning from this is a lot of this is about putting illusions and circumstances in front of certain races and intelligences to get them to go to a higher level of consciousness and think outside the box, and then they have a leap in evolution. And it's really a projection of our own illusion that we're doing this to ourselves, and we're all a cell of one consciousness just interacting with itself. So that's the stuff a lot of people won't get or fathom, but the results of what you're saying...
We get into that, what you talk about, Pete.
Yep.
We do get into it.
Well, the results they don't surprise me. I'm actually fascinated with it all. And again, what it's doing is it's getting rid of a lot of the crap and preconceived notion or misperceptions of, you know, like what you just said about the reptilians. You know, it's only a small percentage, really, when you look at that, have had a negative experience. So it's going to... That's data that people can pull from now. Otherwise, you can say, where did you get your data from? And who did you talk to?
Correct. Also, the other thing, Pete, is that, you know, the terminology that we use, it's not good terminology, positive, negative, or neutral. You know, but it's a basis to start with. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the details are going to come when you actually talk to these people one-on-one and in their written responses, what they wrote, that sort of thing. That's where these details are going to be. Why did you perceive it negative? Why did you perceive it positive? You know, and a whole bunch of other topic areas that we talk about. But, you know, I just wanted to tell that to the audience members in case a lot of them say, well, these things are not positive or negative. Why is he throwing out those words? Well, it's a beginning. It's a basis, you know. Now, we also asked them... also, Pete, these were just specifically physical experiences. We also asked a whole series of questions of, you know, telepathic type of interactions, which we really don't have a lot of time to get into all of that, mm-hmm. because it's just, you know, such a huge topic area, okay? But let me transition, Pete, in terms of the question of... hold on a second, of the relationship between the ETs and spirituality and the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
okay? All right. These are now from phase two. These are the more hardcore experiences, okay? People who've had multiple types of experiences. So we asked how many of these people have had physical contact with an ET here in a perceived to be on Earth, you know? And the total was close to 1,000 people, okay? Experienced contact in a matrix type of reality. They don't have an ET contact experience, or you were not in a 3D dimensional reality, i.e. you were not in a perceived physical location, such as on Earth, you were not on a planet, you were not on a ship, etc. But instead, you perceived yourself in a matrix type of reality, a reality with no boundaries, similar like you are out in the middle of space. 475 people had ET contact in this type of an environment. Well, it's a huge number, Pete, you know, and this is a topic area that very few people talk about, okay? We asked about 10 different questions about contact in a matrix type of reality. We asked, was your consciousness separated from your body at the time of this ET contact experience? 67% said yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. While in this matrix type of reality where your thoughts sped up, 47% said yes, my thoughts were sped up. In this type of matrix reality where your sense is more vivid than usual, than right now, like you and I, was it more vivid? We had 27% said yes. And 37% said yes, incredibly more vivid. No, I'm sorry, those numbers, no. Incredibly more vivid was 37%. More vivid than usual was 36%. So it was like, 3% said it was much more vivid, their senses, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know that. You know that, okay? Because you've had it. Maybe Sol Rita's had it, other people that you've worked with. But these are the type of topic areas that no one talks about, Pete,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So we asked a series of these questions. So it's really, it's pushing the boundaries of the contact phenomenon, okay? Let me skip over some of these matrix type of questions so I could focus on other topic areas. Oh, here's a good question here. In this matrix type of reality, did you perceive that time did not exist? 71.5% said yes. Time did not exist when I was in this reality, okay? Just like an NDE, man.
Yeah.
Just like an NDE, okay? Now, here's, we're going to get into this NDE type of questions. Have you ever had an out-of-body experience? This is phase two. Remember in phase one was 80%? Phase two was 78%. Okay? Very consistent.
Pretty similar, yeah.
Very similar. Have you ever met a non-human intelligent being during an out-of-body experience? We asked it now in phase two. Well, it was 44%. Okay, we asked that same question in phase one. Here's a, put on your seatbelt, Pete. Put on, buckle up for this question. Have you ever had a near-death experience? 36% said yes. Okay? 36% had a near-death experience. Now, has NDEs in the common UFO fields ever been connected with ET contact?
Not until recent years, I think, that people even bothered looking at it. And I'm wondering if a lot of people started having experiences after a near-death experience too. On a more conscious level.
And vice versa.
Mm.
And vice versa. Okay? I don't have time to get into my NDE type of related experiences. Okay? But I had two events that told me to focus on this relationship. Okay? And again, I don't want to take up my time, you know, to focus on it. But I knew to ask this question based upon my personal experience.
Yeah.
And look what we came up with. You know, 36%. 358 people had near-death experiences in phase two of the hardcore experiences. We asked a question, Pete, have you ever had a past life memory? For example, memory of your consciousness in a previous life? 65%. Do you have memories of you visiting or receiving a glimpse of heaven or what is commonly called the spirit world? 44%. Said yes, we've had a glimpse of the spirit world. Do you believe that, here's another one, buckle up, two buckles for this one, Pete, okay? Do you believe that any of these ETs have performed a medical healing on either you or another member of your family? Buckle it up, Pete, 49.5%.
Okay? Lots of stories about that.
I've had a medical healing done on either them or a member of the family by these ETs. Now, let me give you a couple examples, okay? Have you ever interviewed Reverend Michael Carter?
Yeah, I've had him on a couple of times.
Okay, I don't know if you knew. He had a medical healing by these ETs. He was released by the hospital with one leg that he had a blood clot. The one leg was swollen up twice the size of the other one. He was released, but he was still in a lot of pain. The leg was all swollen up. And he started, you know, praying. Well, guess what happened? A human-looking being, very tall, appeared to him, touched him with some type of instrument, okay? He got knocked out. When he woke up, his leg was completely healed. He said he could have run a marathon. Okay? And this is, we're talking an ordained minister.
Mm-hmm.
You know the story of my family with my dog, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My dog and my wife were taken right in front of me. They just disappeared. This plasma being knocked me out for 45 minutes. And then when I awoke, you know, my wife was in the middle of the living room. The angels killed her. The angels killed her. The angels killed her. We were going to be euthanizing our dog that same day. And they came because my wife was praying all night. Okay? For some type of angelic intervention. That's why my wife purely sees them as angels,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she was praying for angelic intervention. She's was not so much. She's not a hardcore Catholic. Now she's much more spiritual than Catholic. But before then, she was, you know, hardcore Catholic, you know, praying all night, and boom, they appeared. Okay? and the dog turned was returned completely healed. Okay, and even before she had her stroke, she was like an old lady on crutches. You know, she was walking like an old lady with arthritis, very, very sick. She was taking Viagra for her heart, diuretics for her kidneys, you know, very sick dog. She was 16 and a half years old. She was returned like a puppy, Pete. Okay, like a puppy. Okay, and so that's another case of healing. Chris Bledsoe, you ever heard of Chris Bledsoe? He's an experiencer in North Carolina in the U.S. He spoke at the Experiencer Speak Conference, and I actually met him. I had an experience that forced me to go to his house. That's another crazy story, Pete. Crazy, crazy story, man, you know? We need to talk about some of the crazy stuff that's happened to you, man, you know? Crazy stuff. But anyway, he got taken away for 7 hours with four grown men and his son. Okay, all of them saw these different types of beings. Okay, that was tall, like a tall gray type of being that was running after them like a gazelle in their car. Okay, but for 7 hours they were looking for him, he was gone. And then when he returned, he was on disability and he was getting a government pension for being disabled. Okay, for Crohn's disease. When he came back, nothing, completely healed from Crohn's disease. Which just doesn't happen from night and day. He had seen the doctor like a few months. They had taken all these x-rays and these tests and stuff, and his intestines were all screwed up, you know. Really, really sick. He had been in bed most of the time for the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, you know, doesn't need to take his medication, completely healed, you know. Another case of a medical healing, okay. Numerous cases. We have our buddy that lives north of Melbourne, okay. I don't know if I want to mention her name, but I stayed with her a couple of nights. She has the two children, two teenagers. Okay, okay. You know who I'm talking
about.
Yeah, okay. She had a cancer and she was medically healed. Okay, but you talk to hundreds of people, Pete. You know, you'll hear the story. Now let me tell you where I got that question from. Why I asked that question. Not only did it happen to me. I read this book by Preston Dennett.
Yeah, I've had him on the show.
I interviewed his sister. Oh, you had him on the show?
Yeah, I've had him on a couple of times. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I know you interviewed his sister.
Yeah. Okisara is related. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He wrote a book, Pete, 20 years ago. Nobody knows about this book. Nobody. It was, you know what the title was? UFO Healings. Mm-hmm. Okay? I purchased that book. Because I found out about it because what happened with my dog, you know? And so I read it. He had 220 cases of healings by these ETs, okay? And 220 cases. And this is from cases of Alan Hynek, Jacques Vallée, all these major, you know, ufologists. The only one that he didn't get it from was Bud Hopkins and Jacobs. Why? Because he asked them. They said, well, I've never heard of a healing done by an ET. And by the way, I've never heard of a positive experience with an ET, okay? Just to let you know where these people are coming from,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Well, they never even heard of a positive experience. So that's in his book, that his interview with Bud Hopkins, that Hopkins said he never met an experiencer with a positive experience. So that's in the beginning of his book of UFO healings. And so what we've done is actually corroborated his finding. You know, that this is very, very common phenomena, but yet very few people know about it. Mary knows about it, okay? All the people in our group know about it, in our board of directors. Why? Because they've spoken with hundreds and hundreds of experiencers, okay? So that is a topic that you need to ask people, Pete, you know, whenever you interview them, you know, have you ever heard of that? Has that ever happened to you, you know? Have you ever heard any stories on this topic? And you'll see some people might have been hesitant about telling you that story because that's even more crazier, you know, like, you know, when I tell people my story that the dog was completely healed, you know, that we were ready to put her asleep that day, you know, it's like, wait, you went overboard now. I could deal with you seeing the craft and maybe an energy being and stuff like that, but a dog being taken with your wife and returned completely healed, now you're full of shit, you know. So, you know, in the beginning, I never told that story, Pete, you know. Because it's like there's so many crazy experiences. A lot of the stuff you don't even know about. You know, we just haven't had the time in our discussions, you know. But like this whole thing with Chris Bledsoe, I told you about, that's another freaking crazy story, you know? And we all have these crazy stories that we only tell a few people, you know, because not you, because you tell everybody your story, but most experiencers, they always have a couple of stories that they hold back, you know, because they're just too nuts, you know? So let me continue with these questions of spirituality. My wife had an experience when she was in Mexico. This is all after the initial contact beat. All of her stuff happened after that thing in our living room. She was out in the mountains of Mexico City, right outside these huge, gigantic mountains, very, very remote. And it was like a three-day meditation workshop. And guess what happened? She saw three tall human-looking beings dressed in a white monk's robe. Mm-hmm. They were like 8 or 9 feet tall. They floated, you know, 15 feet in front of her for 30 seconds, like a foot off the ground, and then poof, they disappeared instantaneously. So I said, oh, what the hell? Let me ask this question, you know? So he asked this question, have you ever seen an ET dressed in a monk's robe? And if so, what color was the robe? Well, guess what? 298 people said yes. Almost 300 people, 298 said yes. And the white color was 99. The brown color was 108. And other color was 132.
I've seen white, brown, and blue, so... That's interesting.
Have you seen that?
I've seen white.
Have you seen the...
I've seen him in white. I've seen him in brown. I've seen him in blue.
Okay, you see? You're a perfect example of this. Now, are these things that are commonly discussed, Pete? You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
Okay? So that's why what we're doing is so radical, because we're asking questions that ourselves as experiencers know. Okay? and just like out of the blue, we say, what the hell, you know? Yeah. Boom, 298 people. As a matter of fact, you know, brown was 108, white was 99, you know? And so let me, now let me get into the more spirituality-focused type of related questions. These are little warm-ups, you know? So do you feel a sense of expanded consciousness in the presence of these ETs? 71% B said yes. Do you believe that you and an ET have ever reached any kind of an agreement? 45% said yes. If there was some type of an agreement to be taken either on board of a craft or to be relocated to another location, and i.e. to be abducted, okay? 600 people said yes. That was the agreement they had, okay? To be taken on a ship or to be abducted. Do you believe that there is a connection between the ETs and the paranormal? Well, obviously you and I know that, okay? 89% of these experiences agreed with us. Okay? Huge number, 837 people, 89%. Do you believe that there is a connection between, here's another good one, Pete. Do you believe that there's a connection between the ETs and the spirit world? In other words, an after-death world or heaven? 83% said yes, that there is a connection between the ETs and the spirit world. Now, again, I ask you the question, Pete, is this a topic that's, you know, commonly discussed, not on your show, but in all this BS that's running around on the internet on these ufology programs, you know, and ufology conferences? Okay? No, it's not. Okay? They don't know about that connection. But we know. We do, Pete. Okay? And right now, you and I and Sol Reed and Mary and all these other folks that we're friends with that understand this principle, 83% of the people said yes to this question. Okay? Huge numbers.
Yeah.
So whenever anyone asks you for data, number, right here, you know, 83%, 779 people in the free research study said yes. Okay? So just keep them quiet, Pete, you know? Do you believe that there is a connection between ETs and reincarnation? Again, another very interesting question, which we, you know, commonly talked about among ourselves, okay? Well, guess what? 76% said yes. Okay? Huge number, 76%. Was any of this ET communication concerning life after physical death? Okay? Did the ETs, now, all these series of questions now was what the ETs told you. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is not whether they believe now. This is what the ETs told you. Okay? Did they communicate to you about physical death? You know, life after physical death? You know, heaven or the spirit world? Well, 30% said yes. Okay? 225 people said, yeah, the ETs told them about that. Did the ETs provide you with a spiritual message? Okay? 54% said yes. Did the ETs give you any messages of reincarnation? Again, this is not what they believe. This is what the ETs told them. 27%, which is not a little number. It's 216 people. Okay? So 216 people, the ETs gave them a message about reincarnation, you know. Did the ETs give you any message about God or a creator? 34%. Did the ETs give you any information that we humans were created by them, by the ETs? 20%. Actually, 19.5%. Did the ETs give you information that they are upgrading our human DNA? 25% said yes. Did the ETs give you any information about the death part? Well, I already asked that question. Did the ETs tell you about soul swapping, your soul moving into their body, or that their soul can enter your body? Okay, I know you've heard about that. 16%. Not a huge number, but it's 126 people have heard that from the ETs. Large number, Pete, 126. Did the ETs tell you that your soul or spirit was at one time an ET? 24%. Do you believe that you have interacted with ETs in your past life? Huge number, 58%. Okay. Did the ETs tell you, okay, I already asked that question. We talked about an agreement. Oh, did the ETs ever tell you about the concept of parallel universes or multiverse? 31%, which is 253 people. It's not a little number, a lot of them. So anyway, I have tons of, I have like 40 of these questions of what the ETs, you know, told them, okay? So as you can clearly see by what I'm telling you, Pete, there's connection between the ETs and the spirit world through numerous responses by these individuals, not just once, numerous. So that connection is established, it's clear, okay? Now, what I want to talk about is the most important finding that we have. And everyone is in agreement that this is the most important finding. And let me give you a background for these series of questions. Okay, I already told you that I had two experiences related to NDEs. Okay, and in the second experience, I was driving in my car, and all of a sudden, I was taken out of my body, and I was put into this matrix type of reality. And that's why I asked these matrix type of questions, okay? And so then I was pure consciousness. There was nothing around me. It's just my mind. But there was nothing else, visually or nothing. And then all of a sudden, I was inside a big, gigantic spinning wheel. And the wheel was spinning slowly, okay? And the wheel had spokes, just like a cowboy wagon, you know, that type of thing, you know? Those big, gigantic cowboy wagons. So I was inside one of these spinning wheels. And inside each different spoke was a different, what I now call contact modality, which is a mechanism where humans are piercing the veil and having contact with non-human intelligence. So in one spoke was UFO-related contact. In another spoke was near-death experiences. In another spoke was out-of-body experiences. In another spoke was channeling. In another spoke was mystical meditation. In another spoke was shamanic journeys, you know, ayahuasca, peyote, whatever. In another one was remote viewing, you know, lucid dreaming, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was all spinning around. And then instantaneously, I knew that humans were researching these things independently, separately. But in actuality, it's all one, you know, it's not separate, okay? And then what was holding all of that together was some type of advanced physics called consciousness, okay? And then they were giving me even more details about, you know, the advanced physics and the consciousness. And then I got information. It wasn't a message. It wasn't a voice, but you probably know what I'm talking about. It was like, shoot, information, you know? And it basically, the information I got was that I need to inform humanity of the relationship between them, you know, these ETs, the spirit world, and consciousness. So I need to inform humanity of the relationship between them, the spirit world, and consciousness. Okay? Then it said, I'm going to be needing help. And there's two criteria for the help. It's not about money. And I need to get folks that have minimal ego. And then, poof, I was back in my car in the middle of a traffic jam at 8:30 in the morning going into downtown Miami. Okay? That afternoon, I got an email from Mary. An email that I had sent her 6 months earlier. And next time you talk to me or interview, ask her about the
Oh yeah,
question you
we
raised.
I've
Don't
talked to
forget.
her about the I think this might we've brought this up before,
You've asked her that question before?
No, we actually talked about it on one of the shows, I think, about how this occurred,
Okay.
yeah.
So what happened was, Pete, like you know, when someone has these experiences in the beginning, well, not so much you, because you've had it all your life, but like in my case, you know, I had no knowledge, no background of these things, no, absolutely zero interest in this stuff, you know. So the first thing you do is you go to the internet, and that's full of shit, you know. It's all junk, it's all garbage, you know. And so you want someone to talk to, you know. For my wife, they were angels. That's it, you know. Case closed. End the conversation. Their angels get with it, you know, and then you can't talk to your friends, you can't tell anybody else about it. So what I did is I sent an email after my daughter and I had that huge and these three friends with that huge spaceship outside of my house, you know, and so I sent it to like people like Stan Friedman, Grant Cameron, Linda Mulhall, Willie Schreiber, Mary Rodwell, Joe Montagna or Montaigne, who has this abduction radio show. Tons of people, you know. So Mary was responding to an email that I had sent in October of 2012. Okay. This was now May of 2013, Pete. Okay. And she goes, "Dear Ray, I'm sorry I'm responding to an email that you had sent 6 months ago, but it just popped on my screen today." Right. And so I sent her an email back. I said, "Well, you ain't seen nothing yet, you know. This is all the near-death experience that took place, you know, 3 days in a row on December 21st, December 22nd, December 23rd, 2012. These are all the paranormal experiences, and this is what happened today, you know." So Mary said, "Holy cow, you know, that's crazy. Let's get on Skype." So we got on Skype, and we talked for like for 2 hours, and it was very late at night. And so we agreed to keep on discussing the next day. So the next, so I asked Mary. I said, "Mary, do you ever go back 6 months to check your emails?" And she started laughing. She said, "Ray, I can barely get through one day's emails. How the hell am I going to go, you know, back 6 months?" I said, "Well, how do you explain what happened, Mary?" And she said, "Ray, by now you don't know what the hell has happened. You know, like these ETs set it up. You know, for the day that I got that experience, that download was the day that they released the email to Mary, so Mary can hook up with me. You know." And then the very next day, I get a phone call from Dr. Rudy Shields at 9:30 in the morning. And out of the blue, I didn't even know this guy. He calls my house, Pete, okay, at 9:30 in the morning. And then he starts introduced himself. He told me that it was Mary that had sent him an email and given my telephone number because my experience dealt with consciousness and quantum physics. And that's his specialty, you know. So what he told me was that quantum, that contact modalities that I experienced inside that wheel, he says that's 100% correct. And that a theory that he and Dr. Mitchell have been working on for the last 20 years or so, the quantum hologram theory of consciousness, explains the how all of these contact modalities are all interrelated. So he then went on and talked to me for 90 minutes about, you know, quantum physics, the quantum hologram theory, and on and on and on. And then he was the one that hooked me up with Edgar. He says, "Take down this telephone number," and he wrote down a telephone number. He says, "Gift is this is the number of my mentor." And so I said, "Well, who's your mentor?" And he goes, "Dr. Edgar Mitchell." And I said to myself, "Holy shit, you know. Dr. Edgar Mitchell is this guy's mentor, you know?" And so later on in the afternoon, I called Edgar, and he invited me to his house the very next day. The very next day, I spent the whole day at Edgar's house. And he started telling me a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, that's not circulating in the internet. Tons of stuff. I don't even know this guy, just out of the blue. Towards the end of it, he says, "Rudy and I already discussed it. You need to form an organization to spread what your ETs gave you." And I say, "Here's another batty old man talking about my ETs, implying like he's got his own, you know?" And then he says, "Rudy and I already discussed it. We'll be your scientific advisors, you know. But I've got no idea. I don't even know what to do. They didn't give me any instructions." He says, "Don't worry, it'll come to you. It always does." So then I called Mary and I said, "Mary, you just won't believe what's happened over these last 2 days, you know." And I told her what happened with Rudy and with Edgar. And I said, "They want me to form this organization." I said, "Do you want to join us?" And Mary said, "Yes." So in a 3 day period, we had free. But no idea what the hell we're going to be doing. And we didn't even have a name. It was like 2 weeks later that Mary said that she got, you know, information, you know, where she gets it from. And it gave her the name of FREE, you know, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. So this whole idea, Pete, of the NDE stuff and the spiritual aspect connection is very personal to me, you know, because it was directly given to me. So we asked, what happened was I ran across this book by Dr. Kenneth Ring, who is one of the two main professors that has researched near-death experiences. He's now a retired professor of psychology at the University of Connecticut. And for over 30 years, he wrote numerous books on near-death experiences. And he and Dr. Bruce Grayson from the University of Virginia, who's a medical doctor, both of them have been studying academically NDEs for over 30 years. So those are the two bigwigs academics on NDEs. So he wrote a book in the mid-80s where he, titled The Omega Project. Mm-hmm. The Omega Project, for the listeners that are out there, it's on Amazon. You can get it used. What he did is it's one of the few studies on UFO contact experiences, statistical studies. But it was very, very limited, very, very focused. What he did is he compared 150 people that had NDEs with 150 people that had abduction type of experiences. And what he focused on primarily was how did these people change? You know, how did they transform? You know, what is their psychology, their profile now? You know, and what he concluded was both of these people transformed into the same person, okay? And let me give you a summary. People before that were money hungry, all of a sudden couldn't give a hoot about money. People before that were religious or not religious. People that were non-spiritual are not spiritual. People before that were the nastiest people in the world are now loving and caring. People that were not ecologically friendly are now, you know, super green, super ecological. A complete psychological transformation for the better. Okay, and so I said to myself and to the members of our research committee, why don't we grab like 100 questions from his book and test it out in our survey to see how experiencers have changed from this phenomenon. So let me go over some of these questions, Pete. To us, as I said before, this is the most profound, important finding. Okay, and what we found was that Dr. Ring's findings, we duplicated them 100%. 100%. Experiences went through a tremendous transformation for the positive. So the question to pose out there to every listener here, if these ETs are so evil, why are they changing experiences tremendously for the positive? Okay. Now let me give you the specific information to back up my claim. The choices for all of these questions was strongly increased somewhat, has not changed, decreased somewhat, or strongly decreased. Now, in the vast majority of these cases, it's strongly increased by more than 75%. Some cases, 90%. Okay? So let me go over the questions. My desire to help others strongly increased. My compassion for others strongly increased. My appreciation for the ordinary things of life strongly increased. My ability to listen patiently to others strongly increased. My feelings of self-worth strongly increased. My interest in psychic phenomena, huge, strongly increased. My ability to love others in an impersonal way, okay? The ability to love others, Pete, okay? Strongly increased. My concern for material things in life, now it's the opposite. Strongly decreased, okay? So no longer do they care about money, Pete, material things, okay? My tolerance for others, like myself, I had a hard time dealing with assholes, you know? It's like, you know, I went up to a certain point, I said, you know, get the, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay?
After my experiences, man, I could deal with anybody now, you know? And I really deal, I'm able to tolerate people. Same thing here, strongly increased my tolerance for others. My sensitivity to the sufferings of others, again, strongly increased. My interest in creating, skip that question. That was a good impression. My concern with spiritual matters, huge number, strongly increased. People that were non-spiritual people, all of a sudden, people are deeply spiritual. Mm-hmm. Okay. My interest in organized religion, just the opposite, strongly decreased in organized religion. So like my wife is a classic example. She's gone to church maybe over the last year, maybe two or three times, you know, to mass. Yeah. Before, you better not miss mass, man, you know, because I ain't going to cook your food. You're going to sleep on the other bed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like this tremendous change, yeah. You know. My understanding of myself, you know, you being able to understand yourself better, as a human strongly increased. Okay, they're able to know who they are. You know, why are they here for? My desire to achieve a higher level of consciousness strongly increased. I could go on and on with these types of questions, Pete. You know, my ability to express love for others openly strongly increased. Okay, there's like 40 more of these types of questions. So the point being is that experiencers have undergone a tremendous change for the better, tremendous transformation. They're not the same person they were before. Okay, and that is a major finding, Pete.
Definitely.
You know? Let me ask this question. In terms of the other thing is whether these entities were perceived as positive and negative and neutral. Okay, let me go into more specific questions on that. We talked about the specific beings, how people saw these beings. But let me ask that question in general. Okay? Now, again, positive, negative, neutral, those are not, you know, very good ways of asking it. Yeah. So we asked it in many different ways. We asked, if you could stop your ET contact experiences, would you? Well, guess what? 84% said, keep it coming, baby. Don't make it stop. Okay? Huge number. Don't stop. If this was such a horrible, terrible experience, why would 84% said, keep it coming? Okay? And the total amount that answered that question was 898 people. So 756 said, keep it coming. Okay? Now the question, do you believe the ETs in general are bad, malevolent, or evil? Okay, only 9% said yes. A fraction. Okay? The vast majority, 91%, said no, they're not. Now here's an interesting question, Pete. We asked, did your ET contact experiences change your life in a negative or a positive way? Okay, so that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, how did they change you in a positive or negative way? So these are the choices. It had a highly negative effect in changing your life, slightly negative effect, neutral, slightly positive, or highly positive. Okay, now let's start with the most negative one. It had a highly negative effect in changing your life. That was only 4%. Slightly negative effect in changing your life was 6.7%. So let's say 11% total, okay? Neutral was 17.3%. Slightly positive, 22%. Highly positive, 50%. So we're talking almost 72%, Pete, that had a positive effect in changing in their life, and highly positive was 50%, okay? So again, these ETs are so negative, so terrible. You know, why is it such a small number view how they've changed their life, you know? So you know, most people has been very, very positive. And then a large number was neutral, but the actual part that's had a negative effect on changing their life was 11%. And then highly negative was only 4%. Now, here's another question that we asked. We asked, how would you characterize your first few ET encounter experiences? Now, this is related to the abduction type of experiences. Now, the negative, here's the choices. It was a case of abduction of the most negative kind. It was a case of abduction of a milder kind, a slightly more caring kind. It was a case of abduction, but were seeking permission, where they sought your permission. And they were more humane, compassionate treatment. And then moving up the positive, I was not an abductee, but I was a contactee, where you are being treated with respect and understanding. And then finally, the highest level is a case of being a conscious contactee, an egalitarian, an equal relationship, okay? Now, in terms of the very first few experiences, abduction of the most negative kind was 19%. Abduction, but a slightly more caring kind, okay, was 18%. So now we've got 27%, okay? 37%, Pete. 37%, you could see it as sort of like a negative type of experience, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that was the first few experiences, okay? Now, here's the important part. How would you describe your last few ET encounter experiences? It was abduction of the most negative kind. That's only 8%. So it went down from 19% to 8%. You know, big change of how they perceive their experiences now. It was a case of abduction, but of a slightly milder kind, 12.7%. It was still a case of abduction, but we're seeking permission, more humane, compassionate treatment, 8%. Now pay attention to these last two figures, Pete. Again, the question deals with your last few encounter experiences. How would you characterize them, okay? So you as an older person, a more mature person, how are you seeing it now? You are not an abductee, but you are a contactee. So we got here is you are not an abductee, but you are a conscious, but you are a contactee, where you are being treated with respect and understanding. Now, again, this is your last few experiences now, okay? It went up to 36%. Now, the last category is it's a case of being a conscious contactee, an egalitarian, an equal relationship with these ETs. That's 34.4%. So in total, we've got 70, almost 71% B, okay? That's saying that they are a contactee, okay? Huge numbers again, yeah. Okay? But you could, the important part here is that in the beginning, people saw their experiences as negative, or they actually had negative experiences. So it's either the experience changed or their perception of their experiences changed. And let me give you an example. I spoke with this experiencer. She's had three different types of experiences. Two of them were with human-looking beings, and those are very, very positive types of experiences. She also had an experience when she was a child with like this little, I don't know what to call this being, but it was like 4 feet, had a beakish nose, it had like warts and pimples, like brown skin. It was ugly as all hell, you know? And she was terrified. Always saw this as a negative experience, was, you know, trembling when she was most of her life thinking about it. But in hindsight, as a woman now in her 40s, I asked her questions. I said, well, you know, did it hurt you? No. Did it do something to scare you? No. Did it tell you something to scare you? No. Did it do any actions to scare you? No. So why were you scared of it? She said it was just damn ugly, you know? And so that's why she had answered the question that it was both positive and negative, you know, in some of these other, you know, questions. And so there's a lot of these mixed bags types of experiences, Pete, as you know, where maybe for someone was up on the table, they're taking their ovaries out, and maybe they still have that fear of it, that apprehension. And that's why they see it as abduction of the most negative kind, that sort of thing, you know. But maybe someone over the years, the ETs might have told them, well, this is like my friend, a very close friend here in Miami. He had been paralyzed for years, waking up paralyzed, okay? Finally, he had one experience where a gray appeared to him, the only time a gray appeared to him, where the gray knocked his wife out, the wife saw it and then was knocked out, and then said, we just came for the last time to say thank you for you agreeing to allow us to take your sperm because you saved us, our race. So we just want to let you know that we're not coming back and we want to thank you, personally thank you. Okay, and that's the only experience he had with a short gray. All of his other experiences subsequent to that have been with human-looking types of beings. Okay, so this is an example where a gray has told him the reasons for this. So initially, it might have been negative for him, but then after these experiences, then he sees it in a different perspective. So we're seeing the same thing with experiencers, that roughly almost 37%. Viewed it initially as negative, their abduction type of experiences, but now it's like 21% viewed it as negative. The most negative kind of abduction was only like 8%. So it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, now it's so fascinating overall, stuff.
Yeah, and also we asked questions about the breeding program. I'm not going to go into it because we asked like maybe 20 different questions on it, but just to give you sort of like a broad overview of how many people we asked this question. Do you believe that you are involved in an alien breeding program, i.e. that genetic material was taken from you for the creation of another being? Well, we had 395 people said yes. Huge number, Pete, okay? If you believe that you have been part of an ET breeding program, what particular type of alien do you believe was involved in this program? And it was 391 people that answered this question. So a lot of the people believe that they're part of an ET breeding program, but they never saw an ET. You know, it's just what's in their head, you know, what they believe. But they never really had any firm experience to back that up. But in this case, there was 391 people that were able to identify a being. The number one type of being was the small grays, the short grays at 49%, the tall grays at 33.5%, the hybrid at 32%, the insectoid at 16%, the reptilian at 14%, the human looking at 38%, okay? The spirit form at 9%, the large hairy type at 1%, the small hairy at less than 1%. So basically the short gray was 49%, the human looking being was at 38%, excuse me, 49%, 38%, and then the tall gray was at 34%. So I also continue with these questions, Pete. We also asked them, if you believe you're part of an ET breeding program, do you know the purpose for this breeding program? So this is what we're going to ask them in the interviews. Out of those, 149 people said that they know the reason for this breeding program. If you believe you're part of an ET breeding program, do you believe that you have any alien hybrid children? Of those, 293 people said that they believe it. Okay, so ask them the question, if you believe they're part of an ET breeding program, were you ever presented an ET child or told that this child was yours? And out of those, let me see how much was the previous question. The 293 believe that they have a hybrid child. Out of those, 145 people were presented with a hybrid child. So in the beginning, it was a very large number, you know, of almost 400 people, but 145 people, half were presented with a hybrid child, less than half, maybe 35%.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the results after the interviews as well.
Yeah, correct. With the interviews, we'll get the details.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we better wrap it up there at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So as you can see, Pete, it's quite diverse. Sorry that I bothered you with all your time here.
No, it's great. I think this is going to be beneficial. It's something that I can point a lot of researchers and experiences to actually get data, and they can go and sort of delve into themselves from there. So don't be sorry.
Correct. And again, the most important findings, Pete, is this transformation question, that experiences are completely being transformed for the positive. The vast majority of experiences are seeing this as a positive phenomenon, and the relationship with the spirit world, that we firmly made that connection there through data. Hundreds and hundreds of experiences.
Yeah, and I personally can agree with everything you just said as well. Definitely with that, it's that's what it comes down to. Eventually, for you know, it's just each person's their own journey, but it comes into all those realms eventually when you sort of step outside it and assess it, and once you reconnect and grow with it. So, it's it would be awesome to get you back on once you do the interviews and sort of say what you can after that, a little bit
correct,
more
correct.
Further. But thank you, Ray, for your time for doing this. It's muchly appreciated.
No, thank you, Pete. So if anyone that's an experiencer out there that they haven't taken our survey, please go to experiencer.org, click on Experiencer Research. Phase one will only take you 15, 20 minutes max. It's completely anonymous, and I know you've taken it. You can vouch that it's completely anonymous.
Yeah.
If you have your email that has your name in your email, I recommend that you know, put another email with like a number or a alphabet type of email, so no one has any idea of who you are, and participate in our research, because all it is just growing the data, which did not exist until our research study. So you'll be contributing to, you know, education of humanity, of the true reality we're experiencing.
Fantastic stuff. All right, thanks again, mate. We'll wrap it up there.
All right, Pete. All right, thank you so much, and have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right, Pete.